Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, a podcast about having easy conversations, where every week we dive into the topics of mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia, and in this week's episode of the podcast, I sit down with Heidi Smith, author of the book, Making Friends with the Boogeyman, Transforming Tragedy into Triumph. In this candid and empowering discussion, Heidi shares her profound journey of conquering intense experiences, anxiety, and addiction to ultimately transform her life into a triumphant story. Heidi delves into the depths of her personal challenges, offering the listeners a raw and authentic look at her struggles. Through the pages of her book, she provides powerful insights and successful strategies that have not only helped her overcome adversity, but also serve as a beacon of hope for others navigating their own individual paths. Heidi Smith is a best-selling author, transformation guide, speaker, and accelerated evolution academy master coach and trainer. Smith guides others to experience abundance in peace, joy, and love beyond their expectations. Her best-selling book is packed with powerful insights from her own story of overcoming intense experiences, anxiety, and addiction, revealing successful strategies for handling life's challenges. Please check out Heidi online. You can find her at www.heidicoach.com, and all the other social links are available in the episode notes. And also leave a review or a comment in the comment section at the end of the episode. I would truly appreciate it. And a brief word for our sponsors.
One thing that's really helped my mental health is a daily routine. Every morning, after doing some breathing exercises and cold exposure, I like a smooth cup of coffee. I've been drinking Four Sigmatics coffee for the last 3 years, and it's been very beneficial for my routine. I especially like their lion's mane and chaga mushrooms coffee, which helps me with my mental focus and energy every morning. Four Sigmatics is on a mission to infuse functional mushrooms into the foods and supplements people love and use daily. Their goal is to enrich minds and improve well-being. By pairing lion's mane with coffee for focus or reishi with cacao for a sense of calm, their brews, blends, and powders get everyone in a good headspace so they can focus on what matters most. Check out Four Sigmatics and use the code EASYCONVERSATIONS, all one word, at checkout for 10% off your order. Today's episode is also sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can be very difficult for many people to start. In my personal experience, when I was going through my divorce, therapy allowed me to bridge a significant gap. With the help and support of my therapist, I was able to uncover a lot of repeated patterns and behaviors that were impacting my life. Through goal setting, I was able to focus on things that required attention, which allowed me to improve the relationship that I had with myself and, by extension, the relationship that I had with others. As a therapist, I've been able to see the positive benefits that clients are able to derive through healthy rapport and goal setting. BetterHelp allows a lot of flexibility where clients can schedule video sessions, sessions on the phone, or through messaging. In most cases, BetterHelp will match you up with a licensed therapist within 48 hours. If that's not a good fit for you, BetterHelp will work with you to find the right fit. Join over 4 million users today by following the link in the description or going to BetterHelp, that's H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/easy10 to get 10% off your first month of therapy. All right, Heidi, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm super, super grateful, and I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. We've been able to connect previously offline, and I really enjoyed our discussion and hoping to share that with the listeners today. But before we get into our conversation, I do want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself and let the listeners know a little bit about who you are.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me on your podcast, for Ken. And Alberta, us Alberta people need to stick together, right? Just a little side joke there when I connected with you online.
Yeah.
I'm from Edmonton, Alberta originally. And so there's a rivalry between Edmonton and Calgary. All you hockey fans out there will remember.
Yep.
And so, yes, my name is Heidi Smith, and I am a best-selling author of the book Making Friends with the Boogeyman, Transforming Tragedy into Triumph. And I wrote this book because I am a transformation guide, and I wanted to share the message that our emotions are allies as opposed to enemies, because for much of my life, I was terrified of my emotions. I was afraid of my anger, sadness, fear. Okay. I'm a sensitive person, and I felt things very deeply, and it was very intense, and I didn't know how to handle it. And so I was on a quest for most of my life looking for ways to address all these big feelings that I've had. And so once I made peace with all of these things, I wanted to share that message with the world that it is possible to be a sensitive being in this world, and for that to be a superpower, for that to be a strength, as opposed to it being a weakness. So that was the inspiration to write the book. So Making Friends with the Boogeyman was me getting in touch with all of these challenging emotions that I had and accepting them and learning from them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think we'll get into that later on in terms of using those emotions as allies. And I know you mentioned anger is one of them, and there's that stigma around anger as a negative emotion, but we'll try to hopefully debunk that in this episode. But I just also want to understand what led you down this path, because you mentioned transformational guide, and I've had other people previously on this podcast who are also in that space of transformation. I haven't really had the opportunity to dive deep into what transformation means. I know for me, I've gone through transformation, I believe most people do, through various life experiences. But how are you able to guide others, and how were you able to guide yourself? So I know many questions there, but
multi-layered. It's a multi-layered extravaganza. Transformation, yeah, it's a big word. And at its essence, I think transformation for me is major change. And so I've been through a number of huge changes in my life. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol. So going from living a life where alcohol was the only tool I had to address my big emotions to a place where I live an alcohol-free life now. And I've learned many other ways to navigate my emotions and to be able to be myself and be comfortable being myself in the world.
Yeah.
So that was a big change. And, but that's actually not where it started. Where my journey in searching for ways to understand myself started in my childhood, because I didn't fit with everyone else in my family. I was different, and yeah. I felt like I there was something wrong with me, and that was my interpretation of environment. Because of course my parents loved me, and they did the best that they could, and they just wanted to make life easy for me. And so for them, that means that meant, or the message I heard was like, just keep your big emotions to yourself and don't get too overexcited. Don't get too emotional because that's just too much for people. And you just need to be quiet and keep things calm and follow the rules, et cetera. And yeah, that didn't really help me out a lot. So I was on a spiritual path from a young age, looking for answers, like looking for a place to belong and a way to find peace from this, like the major anxiety that I felt from a very early age.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate you sharing that. And like very similar journey myself from childhood, feeling different, being told to be something else or be less of who I was. And I think it's looking back, it's easy to, and I'm not saying this is something that I'm getting from you or interpreting from what you're saying, but I think in general, a lot of people do feel that form of resentment towards their family for being told to act differently. But I think if you were to turn it around and have compassion for them, I think they also struggled with their own emotions. So they weren't in a position or didn't have the capacity to help us as children. So how can we now take that responsibility and, to your point, go through those major transformations? And it is a journey, as you alluded to, because alcohol was probably another experience and opportunity for you to get through and perhaps go through another transformation in that regard. And I think part of it is you see a lot of people who change, once they change their relationship with, we're using alcohol here as an example, but they're in a better position to face their emotions because quite often we mask those tough emotions and numb ourselves through substances. And once you've been able to work through those addictions or the over-reliance on those substances, you're in a better position to face your emotions and have more compassion and kindness for yourself. So I don't know if that was your experience and is it, that's where you are now on your journey.
Yes. It's one of those things where I thought alcohol was the solution, but actually it was just making things worse and worse, right? It was, my behavior was out of control. My anger was way out of control. And I just kept it was a negative feedback. Like I just kept doing more things that I was ashamed of and more things that having these experiences with people and more resentments. I was getting more resentful. And so it wasn't until I stopped drinking that I could actually embrace different ways to address my feelings. And like you, I saw one of your posts about how important it is to speak your truth. And speaking my truth, first I had to start with myself, to be honest with myself about how was I contributing to this disaster that I was in at the time, right? How was I contributing to my relationships falling apart, which is what caused me. In recovery, we talk about having a bottom, and what brought me to my bottom is my relationships were falling apart. And I am somebody that I need connection. It feeds me, it nourishes my soul. And so when my friendships were deteriorating because of my behavior, that was my big aha moment to go, holy cow, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And so it took being honest with what was going on with myself and how I was contributing to the situation, because I can't change anyone else. I can only change myself. And so that's where I started. And recovery 12-step program was the way that I stopped drinking. Mm-hmm. And it's what I loved about the 12-step program is that it says, take what you like and leave the rest. It's got these great steps to follow, and you get to decide what works for you and what doesn't. And so I just listened to other people before me and what they had gone through and how they got out of it. So I was looking for the solutions. And when I was drinking and doing drugs, I was fixated on the problem. And it, so that just kept getting worse and worse. Once I stopped drinking, then I had a clear head and I could start making some forward, there was some forward momentum happening then.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I agree. And I think it takes a lot of courage, but it is empowering when you're able to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, okay, am I ready to take responsibility here? And I've had very similar experience again, where failed relationships and having that hard, difficult conversation with myself, but okay, there's a common denominator here and that's you. So what are you going to do about it, right? Or are you going to continue this pattern, which is getting old and it's painful? So yeah, I think after taking responsibility for my own healing and myself and working on myself, it brought a lot of power back and it was liberating because I knew then I could focus on the things that were in my control and I can take responsibility for the things that needed to be healed. And that, going back to that word transformation, was a huge transformation for me. And the best way I can articulate it is almost like going into a cocoon phase where I pretty much removed myself from a lot of people and had to go inward into solitude almost and find myself and went through this whole growth process. I'm still evolving and I believe that journey never ends, but I think that's the significant part of that transformation, right?
Absolutely. Well done, you, because you're starting out a lot younger than I was when technically I've been on the journey my whole life, but it sounds like you hit your epiphany much younger than I did. I was 50 years old when I finally had the huge aha and was able to let go completely of some childhood issues, which I thought I had addressed before. But it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's, there's layers. We talk in personal development, they talk about the onion and all the layers. And
yeah,
it is so true. It is so true. And, you know, honest, I'm as honest as I know how to be in the moment. And that changes over time. I'm in a place now in my life where the level of honesty is much easier. It's easier to be completely honest than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think these things do keep coming up. You may think you've dealt with something and something else may come up. And that's, as you mentioned, that's part of the whole journey and it never really ends. Life would be pretty boring if it ended, right? If there was nothing to work. Yeah. But that's where I think being honest and open to the emotions comes into play and why it's so crucial. And you've talked about your book, and I'm assuming the boogeyman is the emotion that you're referring to that we have to, we get uncomfortable with, right? And what was it like for you to start accepting your emotions and, like you said earlier, coming almost befriending them and seeing what the message is behind the emotions you experience?
Yes. It was a relief, really. That's the biggest thing. Like you mentioned earlier, compassion for ourselves. And that is one of the best things that I've learned, that I give myself on a regular basis, and that I encourage other people to be kind to themselves. What I see, what I saw in myself and what I see in others is that it's easier to be kind to people, other people.
Right.
I find it fascinating, but it's true. Like I know that for myself. I was the toughest critic of me. I was most unkind to myself. And so that was a huge turning point when I started giving myself a break about what was going on, looking at the mistakes that I had made. And when I understood what was happening for me while I was making the mistakes, it was like, oh, this is what you were going through. And that's not to say that I approve of the behavior, that there was negative behavior that happened and people got hurt. I'm not saying that I approve of that. However, when I look back at what was happening for me while I was doing that, there was a huge softening in my heart for myself and for other people when they're making mistakes. Don Miguel Ruiz has that beautiful book, The Four Agreements.
Yeah.
And one of the agreements is there's don't take it personally, and you're doing the best that you can. And when I started reminding myself that I was doing the best that I could in the moment, and that was good enough, right? That was good enough. That was a big relief. And once alcohol was out of the equation, there was a lot less out of control emotion, right? That made it much easier to feel what was going on and connect with it. I've taken many courses as a coach. The modality I use is something called accelerated evolution. And the reason I chose to become a coach, which is a huge surprise to me, a transformation guide, a coach, is because it was effective in connecting with my emotion and having the experience of communicating with them and listening for what the messages were and understanding, changing my perspective from judging myself for being angry to recognizing that my anger had positive intention for me. Like Marshall Rosenberg talks about how anger is covering up unmet needs. And that rings true for me. That's a really important thing for me to remember, that anger is like my alarm signal that something's not right with me, that something's not working for me. And anger gives me the energy to make a change, because as human beings, change can be challenging. And so I need that juice in order to be able to do something differently.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And there's a couple of things that I want to explore further. So one of them, obviously, you mentioned anger. We talked about it before. And as I alluded to earlier, there's this stigma around anger. I think for me too, I was growing up, even in my adult life, I was told, oh, anger's bad. And I think what I'd like to say, it because I've been part of anger management groups, facilitating them as well. And one of the things I've realized is people coming in have this negative perspective on anger as much as I did. It's important to understand that anger is okay. It's how it's expressed, right? And I think people get caught up in the first part. It's really the second part. So to your point, use that anger as your ally. Try to understand where this anger is coming from. What's the source? What's triggering you? And how can you use that information now to express yourself rather than reacting to that initial experience of anger? Take that pause, slow things down, all of that. And I think that's been the reason why I want to emphasize this, is because it's been so useful for me as I've worked through some of these emotions, and anger being one of them for sure. I think I had challenges with expressing my anger, and it's just understanding now, okay, why am I feeling angry? What, to your point, what need of mine has been violated? What has triggered me? And how can I now express it where I can be heard, I can be seen, I can communicate effectively and not show up as this aggressive person, but really stating my needs and communicating really. But yeah, I just wanted to highlight that. And I don't know if that any of that resonates for you.
Absolutely. And excellent, excellent point about it. How is the anger expressed? And what came up for me is that I became very good at calming my voice and using the right words. However, my husband would remind me that I still had all this anger and he could feel it. And that was quite a bumpy learning experience, but I'm very grateful for it because being the kind of person I am, that I feel things deeply and I have these beautiful emotions being energy in motion. Mm-hmm. When I was drinking and anger was a big problem, people were afraid of me because of the way I spoke and the loud voice and all that kind of thing. But also it was confided to me by people that were close to me. It was that dark feeling. I don't know if you've had that when you can feel it when somebody's really upset. Like the cartoons are showing the face getting red and the steam coming out the ears and everything. And so that was very much my experience, is that because I wasn't drinking, I had control of what I was saying, but I still hadn't addressed all of the emotion. And so I actually really needed to take a step away to connect with what was happening with me before I could come to somebody, come to my partner, or come to any relationship, communicate where they could feel the peace now. They could feel the calm. They could feel that there wasn't any threat. And yeah, that was a huge learning for me.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So it sounds like the anger wasn't in your words, but you were still carrying it in your body, right? And I think it's so important because when we have these experiences, especially anger, because that's probably one of the hardest emotions, we do tend to be out of our body, right? We're not in alignment. And so even if we feel like I'm doing all the right things, it's probably more visible to the people around us that know this person, there's something different about this person's energy, how they're carrying themselves. So that's very interesting because I think to your point, what came up for me is being able to then either go through a process of emotional regulation or just, yeah, I think any form of regulation through breathing or whatever people do. I think for me, it's really breathing now, but yeah, being able to get back into your body and just feel that emotion. And then, like I said earlier, be in a position to then express it and be like, yeah, you know what? I am feeling anger right now. I'm sure it's showing, but yeah, I think it's really that healthy expression that we've talked about a few times here that can be so helpful. And then hopefully can allow us to be able to meet our needs or even ask for our needs to be met if it's someone else bringing about that anger. But I think at the end of the day, it's not really what the other person or people are doing. It's how our relationship is with that emotion. We can't really fault anyone else for our own emotional reactions or even our emotions for that matter.
Of course. And it's usually a huge reaction. If I'm having big anger, it's usually not about whatever's happening in the moment, right? A lot of, like you were talking about, regulation and self-care is such an important part of being in the world and connecting with other people. Like I need to look at myself first. I need to see when I talk about my needs aren't being met, if I, for myself, when I'm overreacting, I know there's something more going on. Whether it's physiologically, maybe I'm tired, maybe I'm hungry, perhaps I'm upset about something else, and this is the first opportunity this quote unquote trigger has happened that is like making me realize how angry I am. Is okay, come back and look at me. Get the rest I need. Eat something. Like I said before, take a step for me, take a step away and look at what is the real issue here. Am I, what am I upset about? What need is not being met? Kids are really great about feeling the difference between your words and what's going on with you. And as I'm not a parent, but I was talking with recently with a professional that works with children who've experienced trauma. And so this is one of the things, is that they really need to feel safe all the time. And it's, this is where caring for ourselves and looking after whatever emotion I'm having before I interact with someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can apply to many emotions. I think one of the things, I don't practice in myself a lot, but it's something I aspire to practice, is often you want to be able to take a break or just a 2-minute gap between interactions, right? Quite often we seldom do that. We go in from one interaction to the next without really having that times in between where you're trying to understand how you are, how you're feeling, what kind of things are you carrying in your body, and what emotions are you perhaps bringing from your last interaction. That could be very informative and can really help you as you transition into the next interaction. So that's something I try to embody. It's tough because that's what life is right now. You're rushing from meeting to meeting, from place to place. So you forget about those things, but it's something I suggest or recommend to people as well, if they're interested, to try it out. I think there's a lot of value in that, to just slow things down and see where you're at. Do a check-in with yourself before you move on to the next interaction, because in those moments, you may even realize what kind of emotions that you've been carrying around and you haven't really paid attention to. And to your point earlier, often anger is a result of something that's probably been lingering in the back of our heads for days, or something from even years ago. And the other person just says something that just trigger that, and boom, it just comes out. So just being aware.
Yeah, like it's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's, it's an opportunity, right? Triggers are, I believe, an opportunity, right? Everything, my belief system is that everything that's unfolding in front of me is all for my awakening. And what the goal is, talking about relationships, is working on the relationship with myself. How am I looking after me is a really big part of how well I do with the other people in my life. And I know this. I'm married, and this is where everything comes out. Like my husband, if something's not going right, like this, something will happen in our relationship, and it's a mirror. So I'm seeing a reflection of myself, and it's, oh, okay, this isn't working. So what's going on, right? So what's going on with me, and what do I need to do with myself? That's the biggest gift I can give to everybody in my life, is when I'm looking after myself, then I have so much more to give everybody else in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I think that's why it's important to get in tune with the emotions you're experiencing. And to your point earlier, become friends with your emotions, or make them your allies, because that allows you to really have a stronger relationship with yourself. And once you're able to give that to yourself, then you're in a better space to support others or be there for others. It's really, what I talk to even my clients about is your cup full, and you can't be pouring from an empty cup or even a half empty cup. So make sure your cup is full before you're looking to go do something for someone else, because you won't be able to, or at least not from a good place.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just when you start going down that road of giving myself permission to say no, like when I check in with myself and I'm like, oh, maybe that might be too much for me. I'm feeling tired this week, or I've got X number of appointments today, and I don't know if I can add one more thing to my list, even though I might want to, right? Because it's really interesting, or someone needs my help, or whatever the case may be. Once I started giving myself permission to say no, like listening to my body, listening to my intuition, and when I say no, it's yes, it means I can say yes to other things. So in this case, saying yes to myself, saying yes to all the commitments I've already made today, so that I am in a position to be there as fully as I can for everybody that I am working with. And just allowing for a flow to happen. I've worked through a lot of control issues. That's another one of my lessons of letting go of things. It doesn't have to all be perfect. It doesn't have to be exactly the way I think it should be, right?
Right.
And that was a huge relief as well. When I had to cancel something because I wasn't feeling well or it was too much for me, but I was honest, like we were talking about before, speaking my truth was, I can't do this right now. I apologize. I know I made this commitment. However, I just, my bandwidth is full, or whatever the situation is, being honest with the person about it. So many times, like pretty much 100% of the time, if I am honest and say, I can't do this, the person will say, oh my God, I'm so glad that you said that because I actually needed this time for something else.
Mm.
Right? It's usually a mutual thing. And the same when someone else would cancel, when someone else cancels with me or they need to reschedule, I am always open to that because I know that something else will come up. Something else will need my attention. Something else always fills that space. And so it's just an acceptance of that and going with the flow. And that's been a huge relief for me as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think one of the other things I focus on is if I'm going to force myself or push myself to, even if I've committed to something and I'm not in a good space to be able to deliver whatever it may be, if I force myself or push myself, am I going to be present? Am I going to be at my best? And if the answer is no, then it's probably best. And I think if you try to explain it to other people that way too, they also respect that because you're coming from a place of honesty and good intentions. And it's hard for people to be like, oh, well, you're canceling on me, or to get upset in general, right? And I think that's been powerful for me as well. And I think for me personally, there was a lot of shame around not being able to stick to those commitments, but knowing that for me also presence is more important. So it's finding that, or just prioritizing between the two. And I think I've been able to, through compassion for myself, be able to deal with that shame because I know I'm trying to prioritize being present over anything else. So it's the quality of the interaction as well that matters.
Absolutely. And we can still be in integrity when we renegotiate. So if I set something out up with somebody and at the time have the best intentions and we come to an agreement, and then a month later, whenever the thing is supposed to happen, it's a different situation and we can renegotiate that, right? that's still staying in integrity. I want to give the best of me to our interaction. You want to get the best of me and you want to give the best of you. That's interactions I'm creating in my life. People, like you say, people are open to that because it's the honesty, it's the clear communication. Because everybody's been there when they know what it's like to be not feeling it and doing it anyways. And then what do you have? I have a hangover of, oh, well, that wasn't what I was hoping for. And usually something went awry and it was like, oh, I should not have said yes to that. I should have said, I'm not ready.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that causes more issues later on. So for sure, I agree. Heidi, thank you so much for coming on here and having this conversation with me and sharing your story as well. But for listeners who want to find you or want to get a hold of you, what are some ways they can do that?
Well, thank you for asking that. My website is HeidiCoach.com. So that's H-E-I-D-I, HeidiCoach.com. And there's a link on there. I'd be happy to run a coaching session with someone if they're interested in exploring feelings the way that I do it in this modality. That would be a pleasure. Mm-hmm. You'll find my book on that website. You'll get to learn a little bit more about me. I've been working with a year of joy lately, which I'm really excited about. So there's information about that. It's a fascinating website, The Art and Science of Joy. It's two individuals, Debbie and Andrew, were studying how can we be more joyful in this world. And so they went out and they did all this research and they came up with all these answers. And so now they're sharing that with the world, giving you ingredients and ideas and resources. So yeah, that's all on the website as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Is there anything else you feel that we may have missed that you feel would be valuable for the listeners that you'd like to add when it comes to our emotions or even dealing with our emotions when they come up?
Yeah, I would iterate again, kind to yourself, because even shame has a positive intention for you.
Right.
And connecting with yourself and communicating with that part of you, whether it's through journaling or whether it's through working with a coach or a therapist, whatever support works for you. When you allow that part of you to have its voice to express itself, like you were talking about the anger, there's nothing wrong with anger. It's the way we express it. Every emotion that we have, when we allow it a place to express, we learn so much, and my life is so much more, it's much richer now that I accept all these parts of myself. And now that I'm in a position to guide others to connect with these parts and these emotions and to accept and learn to accept themselves more, it's just an easier way to be in the world, happier and more peaceful.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And thank you. I think that's probably the best way to end the episode. So I appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Ferdinand. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for checking out this episode with Heidi. As always, please leave a 5-star review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. And if you haven't done so, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. And also check out the sponsors of the podcast. Those are the easiest and best ways to support the podcast. Thank you again, and until next week.